Daniel and Carlos tell us what's going on with the project.
Well, right now, Jorge made a separate branch.
Okay, good, great. So that was...
Yeah, it was
not as bad as you thought originally. Okay, good, yeah.
Now we have a complete copy of the project.
After the changes made by you and Leonardo, right? You guys made some additional changes for the crew layer.
Yeah.
And so that includes all the changes. And there's one branch which goes to Leonardo, I guess, and you. With respect to the... I was thinking of calling it out of core soft PM, but we can think of other names.
Out of what?
Out of course.
Out of four. Okay, could be.
Yeah, but it's not the best name. I couldn't think of anything else. Okay, that's good.
We have been working on that, but it's done already. The dynamic growing chunk map.
Mm-hmm.
We are working right now on bringing to memory all the chunk maps from one version, because we store, but currently we only brought into memory the last version of the container.
Okay.
Right now it's implemented. All the chunk direction maps are in special chunks. On the restore operation, we traverse all the list.
And you bring the...
A linked list with the version and the starting address of the chunk direction map. Mm-hmm. We have that information on memory.
A linked list of chunks that contain chunk indirection maps?
A linked list for each container with every version and the address with the where the chunk direction map starts.
Yeah, but that's made, right?
Okay. Already implemented.
Okay. Just so I'm clear about what you're saying. You're saying that the on-disk structure now has a linked list of chunks that contain the various chunk indirection map versions for a single container.
Right. Yeah.
One chunk contains the chunk indirection maps for just one container?
No, for the many containers that... One chunk has for one container, but many versions from the same container.
Right, many versions, I understand, but...
Right.
But you do not mix the chunk indirection maps of different containers in the same chunk, right? Okay, so I think that's what we spoke about last time too. So you have now an implementation which allows you to create this linked list of chunks that contain chunk indirection maps, different versions. Is that...
All that is on this.
You assume that it is available on disk, is that...
Right now we have a special place in the disk where we have the metadata with the first address to the first chunk with chunk indirection map for a single container.
Okay.
And that chunk has as many chunk indirection maps versions that it could have, and then at the end of the session has an address to the point address with the next chunk with chunk indirection map.
Right, so now for the address to be valid or invalid, is there any way you do that right now?
Right now we have the versions must increase, we don't reuse versions, and if the version doesn't point to match with the version that should be, we know that they are.
Okay.
And we have a special marker for the delete one. Version means
one.
Okay.
So if the version place don't match with the version that should be or the marker of delete, it is an PM.
Well, not at the end. Either you need to skip or you are reasonable.
No, if it's deleted, it has a special mark.
Right, but then you need to skip to the next one. But if it's the end, then you need to have some other marker. Or if it's just some arbitrary version.
Just if it doesn't match with the version that should be there, or
minus
don't
one.
Match minus one, it's the end.
Okay.
We assume that the version could not appear magically there.
Well, I think that there could be a problem. Because we also take into account to find for another chunk, to look for another chunk, we take into account that there are
the chunk is completely
the chunk has all the chunk maps that it could store, but there could be that quantity of chunk maps and the last is the last one.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem.
If the chunk is full and there is no other chunk, if we see that it's full, we try to reach the new one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the problem.
We need
a marker.
That's not already implemented, but...
But that can be done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I was saying before is that we have another structural memory that is another linked list that only has the version number and the starting address of the chunk indirection map
for that
version. For purpose to find it quickly after we traverse all the lists and the start. If we need to find a special version, we go to the structure.
Okay. Is there a reason for making that a linked list as opposed to an array?
I guess
linked list is fine.
The problem with the array is we don't know how many versions we're pushing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine, I guess. And okay, so right now there is no capability of creating versions, right? So you're just assuming that there are versions when you write all this code. When you write code to load all the, you know, create the linked list, you're assuming that there is multiple chunk indirection maps.
No, there are all, I mean, every time you create a new persistence point,
there
new
is a
version.
New.
Right.
Okay, so we do have that capability already.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem right now is that the code seems to not work on that case. We're trying to make a new version and
I don't know.
Work.
Well, what in your opinion doesn't work? The new branch doesn't work or?
No, that's something.
The original code doesn't work. I see.
It has some kind of problem, but we haven't seen yet. Because we were just changing the implementation and the implementation works for one version like the implementation before.
Right, so then, I mean, does it make sense for them to have a branch at that point where the implementation is not stable?
I think that it should, their modification should not start in the sit layer. So they don't conflict with the other chain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so you think it's straightforward to merge them?
It should be easy to merge them.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, I guess they need a working version of SoftVM so that they can do the testing, right? So have you consulted with them what the problem might be? Or
No, probably we'll start on that today.
Right.
Okay.
That's our plan too, because at this point, we think that we have some good basis and start trying.
So how do you reveal the free chunk bitmap?
The free chunk bitmap?
When I traverse the chunk indirection map, and when we are traversing those chunks,
you traverse all chunk indirection maps?
Yeah.
Right.
That could be very expensive.
Well, with the first implementation, we traverse the list too. We traverse the chunk indirection linked list map of every container, marking that chunks as used, and at the time we traverse the chunk generation maps inside the that chunks we saw what data chunks are used to.
Okay,
so Michael, yeah. That's who I use.
You know what I mean? It's possible that we could write the bitmap too in dedicated chunks.
Yeah.
And then have how do you make the next link in the link list for the chunk indirection map? When do you create that link?
Which the last link?
The last link, yeah.
If the next map doesn't fit on the chunk, on that chunk, we create a new one.
Very final.
We look at the chunk at the free bitmap for a new chunk and use that.
Okay.
And when we mark that new chunk as used, we create a link.
Okay. You ask for the pointer, or
yeah, the pointer itself.
It,
when you
at the end of the
chunk.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
But when is it written? It is written. I guess my question is, when is it written? There was some idea before that you can write that link ahead of time,
right?
So that you don't have to do a seek to write the link later on, right? So when you write, let's say the last chunk indirection map that would fit in the chunk, at the same time you can write the link to the next, so that the next time you write the chunk indirection map, you already know where to write it. So you can pre-allocate that chunk to write the chunk indirection map.
Right. But what's the problem with that?
How we know that if the chunk is completely full, but when you are going to read, you always are going to read in that next chunk that is empty until you fill it with chunks in your chunk map.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if that.
Yeah, so in
right now, the chunk generation map is written after all the data, chunks are written.
Yes.
So, if we make the pointer before reading the data chunks,
and
I'm not sure how do we know how many chunks are
to skip.
We're going to, yeah.
I see. Yeah, well, I mean, for you to maintain perfect sequentiality, but maybe it's not required to have perfect sequentiality than to avoid one seek operation or a long seek operation. I don't know. I don't know how much difference it would make, though.
I don't know.
Probably not a whole lot.
Right now, in one chunk, it's possible to have 7 chunk duration maps.
7?
Right now with that.
Oh, because you have the last few bytes to write the pointer. That's why you can fit only 7. Otherwise, you would fit 8.
I don't know. There are some space that is not used because it's not enough for a complete chunk.
Yeah.
7. I don't know how they count.
Okay. Well, that's all right, I guess. Now about the free space bitmap, we can certainly go in the direction of reconstructing the bitmap each time, or alternatively we can evaluate what is the cost of writing the bitmap persistently.
Yeah, I mean my issue was, I mean, the problem with writing it persistently is that what happens when you have nested transactions?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so which bitmap do you write?
Nested transactions.
Yeah. So assume that you have one persistent point is going on, right?
Mm-hmm. There is only one call to P point at a, you know, there is
yeah,
no
there could be simultaneous persistence point going on.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Simultaneous persistence point.
So let's assume this is your bitmap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so one persistent point requests these 3 blocks. This is, let's say, container 1.
Mm.
And container 2 uses this one, let's put two here. Two is the other one. Right? And let's say this one started first, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, and then the other persistence points are later and finishes before that. Right. So this guy should write the bit the free space bitmap with all these guys being free.
Yeah, I can understand what the problem is. We'll have to serialize the writes to the bitmaps, and that can be actually serialize both persistence points
mm-hmm.
for this to work, right? I guess that's your point. Instead of allowing them in parallel.
Yeah, that's one option. Okay.
We could do that. But that might cause other problems.
Yeah.
If you serialize writes to two persistence points that are to two different containers, and one container has to wait for the other container, then
you could have a serious loss of performance.
Yeah, there can be a loss of performance. Well, maybe not a loss of performance, but a lot of loss of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
The throughput might be the same or better, but the latency variance might increase. Yeah, serializing persistence points doesn't seem like the right direction. What can we do here? Well, the thing is that we'll have to read the chunking direction maps of all the containers. And all versions,
yeah.
Right? That's mm-hmm. problematic too.
Yeah. You could have thousands of versions, potentially.
Yeah. Can we? Maybe we can. Maybe we can have a bitmap per container, and then just merge the bitmaps. Instead of having to run through all the versions
mm-hmm.
for each container, we can just run through all the bitmaps of each container.
So the last version, merge the last version of each container bitmap.
So I don't know if that's going to be substantially faster. Or
but the problem with that is to allow to a container to write in the chunks of previous versions. Or something.
Sorry?
No,
because the merge free bitmap is the only
if you only read the chunk direction map for the last version, you don't know about the
chunking direction map, but the bitmap.
You have a bitmap?
Free chunk bitmap for each container.
Okay.
And that tells.
And it's a storing disk.
Indeed.
It's not constructed in memory, so you don't have to traverse all the chunks.
You need to know about everyone to write a new chunk.
Yes.
But
you need to merge all the bitmaps of all the... This is just a proposal. For this to work, you would have to write one bitmap per container, and when you restart SoftPM, you need to reload all the bitmaps for all the containers and merge the bitmaps to get the actual bit.
But you don't have to traverse all the versions?
I understand that, but I don't see what is the difference using that and just writing the complete chunk.
A single bitmap?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is what Jorge is talking about here, because you have to serialize persistence points.
Okay.
Because if you write if you, I'm assuming that you're writing the three chunk bitmap at each persistence point. You have to, right? Otherwise, you don't have the.
No, that's recreate.
No, you can recreate, but this is an alternate solution. Right?
Okay. No, I thought you were describing the current.
Okay. Not the current solution, but the alternate first alternate solution is to write the three chunk bitmap at each persistence point. And then this problem, if you write, if two containers are writing persistence points simultaneously, you had a serialized code.
And it's not possible that one single container has to checkpoints simultaneously. No.
No, not one container, but two containers can do simultaneous checkpoints. But with that, you reduce the parallelism. And you also, that can actually reduce performance because the first container has to block. Maybe the application has to block longer. Right? So what I was suggesting as an alternate to the second solution, alternate number two, is to have on disk one bitmap per container, which you can write during the checkpoint of that container. And then later on, merge all the bitmaps.
You read from the global, but you write on the local one. The global is the merge.
The global is the merge, but that's in memory.
Mm-hmm. And from there you find three chunks.
Yes.
When you're going to write, you use the local.
When you need to find the three chunks, you need to use the global.
When you are going to find.
This is all in memory, right?
Yeah.
There is no global on disk in the alternate number two solution. So those are some possibilities, and maybe there are others. But reconstructing the three chunk bitmap by reading all containers, all versions, chunk indirection map seems a little problematic.
But we still need to traverse all the chunk indirection maps.
For one container, yes. The container that gets loaded. But not for all containers.
Okay.
But we still need locking
of the global
on that. Yes.
We do. That cannot be avoided. Yeah, the locking on the global has to be done. So, what are your thoughts? What do you think we should do? Daniel, you've been quiet.
I'm trying to figure out that serialization problem, but the thing is that you don't want to return from the persistent point before that thing is actually greeted, right? And all of them are actually greeted.
Yes.
Can you somehow have something like that is only in charge of writing that three bitmap and that the rest of the persistent point just write, and a processor like a thread or something that is just like, let's say when you create a persistent point here, you notify I want to write that three bitmap. The other process does the same, and that thread is only checking if there is pending writes of that, and then just executes one and that's it.
The problem is that let's say the first guy finishes the checkpoint first, and the bitmap is not written, and there is a crash.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So you have to, when the first container persistence point gets committed, if you keep a bitmap on disk, then that also needs to be committed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is a problem. Otherwise, you need a full disk scan, like FSCK. FSCK basically is run to figure these sorts of problems out, right? That file system, free space bitmap, and the actual usage of disk space is not is in conflict because it's not done in the right in an atomic fashion. So you need to run SSTK. Similarly here, we would like to avoid running FSTK with SOPVM if we design it correctly. The whole point of this is to survive failures, and which means that if you think in FSTK mode, which means every time you run FSTK.
But about if you write something in like some number or something that when you restore, you can say if that thing was read and write or not. And then if it's not read and write, you reconstruct it. But if it's read and write, you assume that it finished right, the last one that actually did the write.
Right, like a commit identifier of some sort.
Like that, yeah.
So we do have that already. In this case, the commit indicator is the writing of the chunk indirection map. Right. Once you write all the chunks, then you write the chunk indirection map and with the valid version number.
At the end, the version number.
At the end, the version number. And so, if we find the version, the correct version number in the chunk indirection map, then we know that that version is persistent and consistent on disk. So if we write a chunk, free chunk bitmap per container, then we'll have to write it after each checkpoint before we write the chunk indirection map. Or somehow make those two operations atomic. Make the writing of the chunk indirection map and the bitmap atomic.
We could, for the bitmap, we could try the previous approach of the shell, because we just need the most recent.
Oh yes.
And we could try that approach.
Yes, we could. Yes.
So we have the atomic chunk indirection pre-bitmap, and.
But there are two things that need to be atomic. The first is that the two things that need to be atomic are the chunk indirection map and the bitmap. The writing of both has to either happen together or none has to happen at all.
Right. We could have the shallow version for each chunk free bitmap for each container. And as we saw when we were implementing that, we could just, if the version of the chunk indirection map is odd, it will use the odd. The odd pre-bitmap, and if it's even, we'll use the even pre-bitmap.
That's fine, but still, there is an orthogonal issue with the atomicity requirement. So,
if the version is not written, we will not use any of those.
Right, but if the version is written.
Is the last thing we need to read.
So we need to ensure that the bitmap is written before the version then. Okay, so there is an ordering, not an atomicity requirement. So there is an ordering requirement that the bitmap written first and then the version, the chunk indirection map with the version number.
And the version number will still be the commit mark.
Yep. We could do that, but for the shadow, then the shadows need to have fixed location, or they could move around. If they have fixed location, then we again have the seek issue, seek problem. Maybe we could have. How big is the chunk indirection? Sorry, the free chunk bitmap. How big is that? Is that bigger than a chunk?
1 bit per chunk. But I'm not sure how many chunks.
It shouldn't be that big. It should be substantially smaller than a chunk. Well, it depends on the chunks. It depends on the size of the partition and the size of the chunks.
Hmm.
It's basically 1 bit per chunk. So, let's say if you have a 1 terabyte partition and 1 megabyte chunk, then it's 2 to the 20 bits.
1 million bits.
Which is 1 megabyte.
1 megabyte?
Yes, one chunk.
That's one chunk.
One chunk, exactly.
One chunk. So writing the bitmap at each persistence point is seems expensive. So you, for each persistence point, there is an overhead of an additional chunk, right? Maybe we could do, if that's true and we want to go in that direction with a shadow, what we could do is, actually we don't need the shadow. We can just write a version number with the bitmap. But we write the version number to the bitmap.
Well, if we fail...
Oh, yeah, yeah, we need the previous one. Sorry, we need the shadow. Okay, so here's what we can do. Let's see if this makes sense. So we have odd bitmap. And this is some direction map. Even this. So each chunk, this depends on how big the bitmaps are, right? If the bitmaps are really small, we could also put them in here. But what I was thinking that each time you allocate a new chunk for a chunk indirection map, you also allocate space for these two bitmaps around the same chunk.
But we just need two for every batch. Not two per version.
No, we need two per container.
Per container, but...
Not per version.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying that we could have... We are allocating chunk indirection maps inside a chunk, right? And these are linked. Correct?
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is that around each of these chunks, we could allocate the bitmaps too. So that the amount of seeking is minimized. So instead of first going to write this guy and then going somewhere else to write the bitmap, at least they're in the close proximity.
But we need to replicate that for every chunk with chunk indirection maps.
Yes, we will have to.
And if every free bitmap occupies one chunk, it doesn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's true. The space overhead is an issue here. You're right. So, I think we have to avoid that allocating too much space. If we have only one location for the pre-chunk bitmap, then we have the performance issue of the additional seek.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do?
Right now, when we allocate a new container, a completely new container, a free version, we need the seek for the partition, the metadata for it. Right.
You know what we can do? Yeah, that's fine. Actually, we're not wasting space because here's what we could do. So, apart from in the chunk indirection map, we could also, you know, apart from just writing the chunk indirection map, we could also write information about where the free chunk bitmap is.
Okay.
Where it is. This is the last thing that's getting written, right? So then if we do that, then our free chunk bitmap could be written anywhere.
So we will have one free bitmap per version.
Yes.
Write it. It again.
Yeah, write it anywhere, and the old versions are going to get freed.
We could set that use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
when we're writing the free chunk bitmap.
Right.
So what would happen then is, let's say this is our disk, and let's say this is the current chunk indirection map chunk, and this is the slot that we need to write into. And we are writing our chunks for the persistence point here, And then here we can write a free chunk bitmap, right? And then once we know the location of the free chunk bitmap, we can write that here. And write the chunk indirection map with the version number at the end.
And after write the version, we set free the previous chunk.
So we can do that here already. We can do that here.
Set the previous chunk free
in this bitmap.
Right, but if the version is not written?
If the version is not written, that bitmap is not going to be used because we'll use the chunk bitmap in the previous location.
Okay.
Does that make sense? If this guy is not written, then this will not be used, and neither would these guys.
Right.
And then we can reclaim the older chunk bitmaps in here itself. Thank you. Wait a minute. When we need to bootstrap SoftPM, we need to access the free chunk bitmaps of every container. And the location information for that is only in the last chunk indirection map for each container.
We need to traverse from the list anyway for knowing where
well,
it is.
Well, at least we don't need to reconstruct it. We need to walk through the list to find out where the chunk indirection, free chunk bitmap for each container. We could start with something like this and see what the performance issues are. You already have a version which, with reconstructing, right? For each chunk,
right,
for each container.
Right, and it's not working. I'm thinking right now and it's not working good because we right now look at for the most recent version, and for that version we reconstruct the chunk indirection map in memory. And for that chunk, we set that use. But the before version,
mm-hmm.
the previous version was
you
not.
Have to do that too. Yeah.
Right now we are not doing that.
So we could do something like this, maybe. At least the C core head is going to be one per checkpoint less, and ideally we have only two, one to write all the chunks and then to write the chunk indirection map, and that's it. If we add one more seek, then that's a significant performance issue.
One problem, the only problem I see with that is we're going to leave every end chunk a free chunk.
Mm.
And that space wouldn't be too
so what we could do is possibly divide the chunk indirection map into multiple pieces.
Mm.
Because typically you will not modify
update all of them.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a good point.
Right.
That's actually very, very
so let you can divide it into any arbitrary number of pieces and just write the pieces of the chunk of the free space bitmap that actually get modified.
But then we have to reconstruct by reading all the different words, all the different parts, right?
Yeah, possibly. But you just need the last version of each part.
Sure. Yeah, that's an additional optimization which we could explore.
Yeah, I mean, we could start with this and then
mm.
go on to the other approach.
Yeah.
The thing is that it's gonna be a pointer to the free chunk bitmap.
To the chunk that contains free chunk bitmap. Yeah.
That pointer is going to be on the end of the.
Or we could put it at the beginning. At the end we have the version information.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the version information of the.
The version information is like the commit identifier,
right?
Which tells us that this version is on disk completely.
The pointer is in the chunking direction now.
Okay. Yeah, it could be right before the version.
Right before the version.
Oh, I was supposed to send you the picture of this, right? Or
I think you wrote the camera.
Oh, you did.
Oh, Leonardo brought the camera.
Okay. Leonardo.
So what's the problem that if you just write the three bitmaps and you put a version next to it so that when the container restores it knows if it's looking at the version it should be looking at or not. And then if the version is not right you reconstruct it, but if the version is right you just load it and that's it.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying just writing 1-3 bitmap, not writing one per container.
I see.
Problem's a seek.
Eh?
A seek.
What seek?
You have to. So the also has to seek to another location.
No, you have it on a fixed location.
Well, that's fine.
That's different.
No, but I'm talking about the first thing that you were talking about, that you have to serialize the writes and all that, right? Saying if you have only one thread that is in charge of writing, and when you create a persistent point, you ask that guy, give me the version that the three shows.
But still, you will have the seek.
The seek?
Because the head will have to seek to where it's writing that.
No, that will only happen when you create the persistent point. You will have it in memory otherwise.
But the seek is a problem. I mean, our optimizations are done so that each persistence point is all sequential. And then if there is a seek, each seek that is required can be a substantial performance problem. Well, we already have one seek to write the chunking direction map.
Which hopefully it's a short seek.
Yeah, and we're hoping it's a short seek. And we want to avoid additional seeks if possible. And this is all assuming that we are writing to disk drives.
No, that's another thing. All the implementation that we have done is just in the HD module.
Yeah.
The other model, we are not.
We haven't done much there yet, which is okay. I think, disk drives are more likely to be used for this sort of, especially the versioning part. But yeah, we need to think about the SSD module at some point more.
As an implementation detail, we start with the version number at 1.
At what?
At 1.
Yeah.
Because when we see an empty space,
It can be zero,
and when we look at the version, it matches with the version.
Yeah.
So we started at 1.
Version 1, I guess that's fine. Yeah.
And with this decision, every chunk in direction map will have a pointer to a free chunk bitmap. Every version.
Every version, yeah. Because there will be, every version will kind of create a new free chunk bitmap. This is all new. We just started talking about it today, so I think it is important for us to think about it some more before we go and implement it.
But right now, with that solution, we still need to, for every container, go to the last version and see where is the chunk in the free bitmap to reconstruct the global free bitmap.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's a requirement right now. Well, at least we don't need to process all the three-chunk bitmaps. We just need to traverse it.
And go to the last one.
And go to the last one and load the chunking direction map. Assuming that there are not going to be too many containers.
and only a space occupied by the pointer to three chunks bitmaps in all their versions are not valid anymore.
Yeah, but that is invalidated in the new bitmap directly. Mm-hmm. So each time we write a new bitmap, we invalidate the previous chunk that contain the bitmap.
Okay.
By setting those bits to zero.
Okay. Union.
Hmm?
Union. On use.
On
use.
Yeah.
On use. What does that
mean? On use. Not used.
No, unused. Unused. Yeah. Correct. So this is a possibility. Think about it some more, and maybe it can be the first implementation. As we learn more about it, we can maybe think about something more smart or cleverer. But I think it's important for us to keep it simple, not to make it too complicated, right? Because anyway, the project itself is so complicated that its parts essentially need to be simple. Otherwise, it's hard for us to troubleshoot later on if there are any problems. So I think you guys are going to sit together and figure out what issues they are running into, right?
Yeah.
So that they can do their development and testing independently.
One thing that I'm not sure is that right now Lima is in charge of the restore operation. I think that should be work for City or not.
Lima is doing the restore operation?
It just scored an function that reads a chunk. Lima does all the restore
operation. Right now it's assuming that you're always restoring the last version.
So what are the changes that need to be made for the interface now for versioning? I think we haven't talked much about that.
We haven't talked much about that.
So maybe you could talk about that a little bit. So what is the current version? Is this read chunk?
Yeah. And just give it a virtual address.
Virtual address in the Lima partition. Okay.
Possibly the only addition is a version that.
Okay.
Or the other option is that you could do something like set version, and then all the read chunks you're assuming is a specific version. Because typically you're not gonna read one chunk from one version, read another chunk from a different version. So you could do something like a set version of a particular container. And that will load the chunk indirection map for that version, and then all the requests for different chunks will be for that.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And a switch is just a
set version.
Set version, yeah.
Well, not just set version. Set version followed by reading all the chunks, I guess.
And reading all the chunks, yeah.
So that's different.
But that's the thing though. Lima doesn't know which chunks are different.
Yeah.
But that has to be the job of crew. You need to think about this interface more carefully.
Well, actually, let's see. So Lima,
trying to see if there is a more higher level interface that makes sense here. Um, because now we also have this additional direction with the out of course of PM that all chunks are contiguous in memory, right? And I would like for that to be used here as well, to have all chunks contiguous in memory. And if that is the case, then maybe instead of allocating memory and asking, so how does the, what is the specific interface? Who allocates memory now?
Me.
Both. Is it both blue and limo?
Limo.
Both. Let me see.
It's a buffer.
Yeah, both. Yeah, limo actually. Yeah, because limo gives a buffer to blue.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because what could be done, for instance, is that we could have the same switch interface. Instead of set version, we can just say switch, right? And have SID populate a data structure that just provides addresses to all the chunks for Lima. I think we need to think more about this. Just memory addresses. So SID will read all the chunks in memory, the ones that are so let's say you're doing a switch, right? SID knows that there are some chunks which overlap with the version that we are switching into. So it can actually retain the existing chunks, and it can load the new chunks and just forward the memory addresses for all the chunks in the new version.
Okay.
And then we manage in charge
to interpret
to
that.
The
yeah.
Pointers and
fix pointers and yeah, exactly. To do whatever is necessary. So that could be another level of interface, but I mean, I don't want us to take any direction today because I think we need to think, this is a very substantial change, and I think we should talk more about this before making decision. Let us think about it, right, because it's a crucial decision, and I mean, in the meanwhile, you guys can also talk a little bit more and see what you can come up with. I think it would also be useful to have Leonardo involved in this discussion so that it is more cohesive. The whatever decision you take actually applies to both versioning and the out of core version and the original software. So let's work on it this week, and maybe next week we can make a decision on the new interface.
Okay.
Next week would be Monday, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And we still have.
Okay. Next week.
School is here. Yeah. Next week is Thanksgiving, but that doesn't start until Thursday.
Okay. Work faster.
Yeah. It's almost towards the end of the semester now.
Yeah. The presentation of the is just after Thanksgiving.
After the Thanksgiving, yeah. And we need to schedule those two. Okay, so I think we need to stop here today. And let's work on this question and discuss next week. Right? So Daniel, you're almost done.